Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Bethy Hungerford, and you're listening to Friends with Recipes, the podcast featuring your favorite people and their favorite recipes. Today's guest brought us just outside of London to High Wycombe, which is the home of today's guest, Chris Cox. Chris is an illusionist, mind reader, comedian, and all-around entertainer whom I met at a cooking event in London a year or two ago. Chris stood out at the event, not only because he was the only man in a room full of women, but also because he clearly knew what he was doing food-wise. He was also just so outgoing and funny, it was hard not to notice him. I became even more fascinated by Chris when I got to his house and found out that he has worked with Heston Blumenthal. Not what I expected him to say at all. This man has many tricks up his sleeve in more ways than one. We're here in High Wycombe sipping tea.
Hello. Yes.
With Chris Cox.
And my mess.
And his beautiful mess.
My wife is going to go mad when she sees this and realize I haven't cleaned the kitchen.
She'll be fine. She's fine. So you were just telling me before we started recording, you were telling me that you had some time off work.
Yes.
And you taught yourself to cook.
Yeah, I had time off work that I didn't want. I was hoping work would come in and there was no work and I was going crazy, doing nothing all day. And there's only so much Netflix you can watch.
Yeah.
So I'd been doing some work.
And this was before your daughter was born.
Yes. Yeah. So I'd been doing some work with the Fat Duck restaurant and had sort of got into cooking quite a lot.
Huh, what work were you doing with the Fat Duck?
I was creating magic tricks that go alongside the meals you have. So there's certain courses which have magic tricks in them. So I created them. And it made me like...
So hold on, who's doing the magic tricks?
So the storytellers, which are what the Fat Duck call the waiters, they do the magic tricks.
I really want to go to the Fat
Duck. It's so good. I can hook you up. I mean, you still have to pay, but it's...
That's fine. But to get in, you have to like call 6 months ahead.
Yeah, it's a new system now. To get in, every month they release tickets for 2 months down the line. And it's like a ticket, you buy a ticket now, like going to Beyonce.
Yeah, well that's because that's what we did in... to go to the French Laundry.
Yes.
In California. Yeah.
Which was amazing.
It was incredible. Yeah. Absolutely. So but there were no magic tricks. Okay, so the storytellers do the magic tricks.
Yeah, and there's like a whole, we worked on this whole thing where it's the idea of there you have, you go on, you don't have a menu, it's called the journey.
Okay.
So I worked with a team on all the sort of creative sides of that and telling that
Did
story.
You get to work with Heston himself?
Yes, I worked with Heston a lot. Here's the most frustrating thing about working with Heston is that
okay, you are being recorded.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot. Like, he is the. I love him to bits. And he lived not far from where I used to live in West London. So I'd go around regularly to see him. And me and my wife would go around and we'd hang out. Every single time I've been to his house, not once has he ever cooked anything.
Really?
And like, just toast, anything. So I can say, you've cooked me something. The best I got was a fancy coffee from a machine, which I had no idea how it worked.
So you can't say, I went to Heston's house and he cooked for me. You can say,
I went to Heston's house and one time he said, well, do have dinner. And I assumed he'd cook. And we then got a takeaway, but it was delivered in a Bentley. So I don't know where he gets his takeaways from. But I was like, okay, well, that's a good close.
Bentley
enough.
Takeaway.
Yeah. I don't know who provides it. I'm assuming it's not a service we can access.
No, I'm sure it's, hey, Heston wants some, you know.
Heston wants it was a very good curry. Bentley curry.
Bentley curry. Yeah. Oh, I love Bentley curry.
It's very
amazing.
Cool.
So what are you making for us today?
So I do all the cooking at home normally because I love it. And it sort of works out with our routine with the baby in that.
Because your baby is 13.
13 months. So I'll sort of start cooking middle afternoon normally. And then at about 6:30, we take her up for a bath. And about 6:45, Helen and I take her out the bath. Helen then puts her down to sleep and I come down and finish dinner.
Okay, start dinner. So the baby eats one meal.
Yes, baby eats at five and then we eat in the evening. Although in the last few weeks, we start to try and eat together a couple of times a week because now she's eating properly. So she will have, like, I'll do a pot. The things I learned, the best tips I've ever learned from asked a chef guy called Ash Palmer Watts, who's the head chef of Dinner by Heston.
Okay.
Which I think has got 2 Michelin stars now.
Amazing.
He's amazing. I was like, what are the simple things I can do to make my cooking better? And he said, double the salt, double the butter. And he's
yes.
so right. but unfortunately, cooking for the baby means I can't do those things. So she has her own pot, so I'll make ours. And then I'll salt it throughout and use all the umami bombs, and hers will have...
Umami bombs?
Umami bombs. So depending on what you're cooking, I put umami bombs in things, which just gives it a depth of flavour.
You mean like mushrooms? Or is this something you buy?
But no, I make my own little umami bomb mix, which is anchovies, fish sauce, Marmite, bit of Worcestershire sauce, and Parmesan.
I love that.
Yeah.
And what do you do? You like mix it together and then you just add...
I just sort of like mix into a little homogenized mix and then throw it in.
Is that something you just keep in the fridge at all
no,
times?
No, I normally just make it up for what I'm doing. I should keep it in the... I should put it in like a little...
Is umami bomb something you learned from Heston?
Yeah, I think it's a phrase that's been bounded around there a lot.
I've never heard of an umami bomb.
Umami bomb. And then you go, just elevates the food.
So you just add it to anything?
Most things. No, I wouldn't add it to... Maybe I'd add it to chicken. Depends what it is. It's like if I'm just doing a chicken breast or something.
So it's not in a recipe. You're doing a recipe and you're like, that would be a great
moment
for
an umami bomb. That would be a great
moment
for an umami bomb. Exactly. Like anything like a bolognese or chili or any of those types of things.
Yeah.
Just soak up umami bombs.
Did you know that umami didn't come out as a flavor until like the 80s
or something? Yeah, and it's Japanese. Comes from Japanese.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like a Japanese word.
Yeah, umami. Yes.
Doesn't sound like Midwest America.
Yeah, no, not so much. It's like, I think seaweed's very high in umami.
And mushrooms.
And soy sauce, that's the other thing.
Oh, yeah.
Umami bomb. Yeah. Got to use the right soy. I learned about that recently.
The what soy?
The right, knowing when to use light or dark soy.
Oh, what's the difference? I mean, I don't know.
Dark soy you normally use towards the end of cooking as like a garnish soy. It would be what you dip in my light soy you should use during your cooking.
Huh. I had no idea. Okay, but we still don't know what you're cooking today.
Oh, yeah. I'm cooking. I'm just doing chocolate chip cookies.
Chocolate chip. Oh, great.
Yeah, but these are the best.
Did you do that because I'm American?
I did it because you're American.
Thanks.
And because I go away on Sunday for a week.
Yeah.
For 2 months.
For a week, I mean two months.
That's a slight difference. And I always leave chocolate chip cookie dough in the freezer for Hannah when I'm away, and in like little balls. So if ever there's guests around, we can just put cookies in the oven.
Oh, that's so cute.
So that's the, like, just do lots of cookies at once and then leave them in the freezer.
So what does your wife do then when you're gone? She has to
fend for herself.
Does she like to cook?
Yeah, she does like to cook. It's just I've taken over when I was learning to cook at home. I would then cook every night, and that just became the routine.
How did you learn to cook? You just
YouTube videos. I asked people a couple of really good books. There's a book.
Which books?
This one. Actually, this one I've just got in the last few weeks, and every recipe I've done from it is amazing.
So this is called Dining In by Alison Roman.
So I did a lamb thing from here the other night. I did that one there. Lamb stew with fennel, preserved lemon, and crispy fried bread. That was great.
This looks amazing.
And then I did a roasted cauliflower with tahini and medjool dates as a little side, which is amazing as well.
So you just kind of jumped in mostly. Yeah. What were you watching on YouTube?
I was literally just Googling recipes that I thought I'd quite like to cook this.
Yeah.
And then just watch people do them. But this book, and the guy he's on the Serious Eats website. I basically
went through all of that. Holy moly.
And this is the recipe I use for my cookies comes from...
The Food Lab.
From the Food Lab.
By J. Kenzie Lopez Alt.
Yes.
Okay.
And he's got SeriousEats.com is his website. And I have a whole browser tab, which I keep minimized on my computer, which all it's got in it are recipes I want to cook. So it's sort of lots from him. There's a lot of Ottolenghi in there at the minute.
Yeah.
I'm going through a lot of Ottolenghi stuff.
Love. I only have one of his cookbooks, but I love it.
Yeah. Like this book, it does is it teaches you like the science behind the cooking. And the other one I totally got obsessed with this year.
And there's like in this one still that I'm looking at, the Food Lab, that it's like, should I peel my asparagus?
Yeah, so
what's the best way to store asparagus?
He does science things on like... Here's all the options on how to do stuff, and here's what I think's best.
Yeah.
And this other one, Salt, Fat, Acid,
Yes!
I've been going through a lot this year, which is, she's got a Netflix show now as well. But there's about a quarter of the book's recipes, but the rest you read like a novel, and basically Salt, Fat, and Acid, Heat are the secrets to good cooking.
I was just talking to someone about this. Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat by Salmon Nosrat.
Yeah, Salmon Nosrat, yeah. It's really beautifully illustrated. And it's like, here's a thing which totally changed my cooking from there, which is seasoning chicken. So if I'm doing a roast chicken or any chicken, about if I can, a day before, I'll salt it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And it the difference it makes is amazing.
Yeah.
And I've got a sous vide, which I use quite a lot.
Oh, really?
I'm one of those guys.
You're one of those guys. We're working with Heston, yeah, I guess.
And it's sort of like...
So explain to the listeners what that is.
So sous vide used to be a proper technical magic... not magic.
Magic is
a proper technical kitchen-y thing where it was a industrial... It's a water bath where you cook it under vacuum pressure. So that's what it was. Where now you can get these wand ones, which are like 100 quid. I've got a Nova one, and you just stick it. It looks like a ray gun. You stick it in any pot of water, so like a stock pot or something. Set it to exact temperature. You vacuum seal your meat, your vegetables, whatever, your fish. Put it in at a certain temperature. You can find all the temperatures online. Cook it for a set amount of time, and it comes out perfect. And then you just finish it in a pan to get the Maillard reaction.
But the main, but like a sous vide, like... Yeah. Like so a normal one is quite expensive.
Yeah,
isn't
the industrial kitchen ones are big and they're whole things. Yeah. Where here, in fact, if you want, I can show you it.
Mm.
Ignore the hanging up of the jumpers.
I'm going to ignore. So we're walking back into your. I'm so jealous.
Like
of
a
this.
Little utility room because I moved out of London and got a utility room.
Don't say utility room because that's not giving credit to this room. You have a full fledged laundry room.
It's a laundry room. Yeah.
You say utility room and it sounds like it looks like crap, but this is like nice cupboards and a sink and a big counter.
And I have here, this is the vacuum sealer, which is just like, it looks like a laminator.
Yeah.
So that, and then I use these little rolls of vacuum seal here, so I put the meat in, whatever it is. Seal it. And then this is the sous vide.
Oh my gosh.
Which is just that. And it
sits. Looks like a really big dildo.
Yeah, and that's exactly what
I
was frustrated when I bought it. I was like, oh, this is not what I expected. but it cooks great food. So you just put that in anything of water. So I've got like this little chefy kitchen.
So you use this quite often because it's all kind of out and
handy.
Yeah,
it's all out. Like if I'm doing salmon or chicken or just something simple. To get in that carrot, like carrots and stuff.
Really?
It in. And it's also really great because you can sort of leave it, let it do its thing.
And you've also got this creme brulee
flame torch. I used that the other day for grilled cheese.
For grilled cheese.
And just the top of it. The oven was too...
Fussy?
It was too fussy. No, the grill was smoking too much.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to... Just smoke the house out, so I use.
So you just took
the blowtorch. Just take the blowtorch.
You put cheese on a piece of bread and you just blowtorch.
No, I've done it properly. I've done I fried the bread in the butter, and then I just needed to finish the top of it because it was under the grill was too much smoke. So I just.
But that's amazing because that took probably 30 seconds. Yeah. Where
the grill would have been.
And that's way more fun too.
So much more fun. Although I ran out of gas about halfway through.
Okay.
So it's slightly ruined.
So less fun.
Yeah, less fun. Half of it, lovely.
Okay, so you are making. Mm. I feel like we could just end up chatting.
Yeah, let me start cooking.
Chatting for 2 hours and miss out on the cookies.
Cookies. Because it's baking, I always have to refer to the recipe because I don't want to.
So where's your recipe from?
This is from SeriousEats.com, which is the Jay Kenzie Lopez, and he did a whole study on how to make perfect cookies. And how you to have them, how you like them. So the main thing to remember is that you want to do, I'm going to get a saucepan out, it's over here, that you want to do brown sugar makes the cookies chewy, where white sugar makes the cookies crisp. So depending on how crisp or chewy you like your sugar, your cookie, you then pick the right
type of
sugar to make it. So if you like a really crisp cookie, use more white sugar.
Because my go-to chocolate chip cookie recipe, because, of course, as an American, I have lots of opinions.
You do, particularly on cookies.
Particularly on chocolate chip cookies, yes. That I use a recipe that has white and brown sugar.
This one has white and brown sugar. Ah. Do you use a Toll House recipe? Because that was my starting point in learning to cook cookies.
I've tried many different recipes. The one I have in my... I have one of those old... cookbooks where you hand write everything in.
Yes.
It's just a bunch of blank pages.
I like that.
And I used to write all my recipes down on there before I realized a computer was much faster.
Yeah, it's so much quicker.
But I wrote a recipe in there from Whole Foods from like the early aughts that is
that's
my favorite. Yeah.
So can you tell me where I'm going different from it? Oh, I was after 225. I've just done 223.
That's because you're a magician.
Pretty good. Quite happy with that. Very happy myself. So I'm just cutting up some butter.
Yeah, so this is not... I don't brown the butter in my recipe.
So I brown the butter, which you don't need to do, but it adds a really nice deep caramelly flavour to it.
I bet it does.
So I just use an unsalted butter, and I chop it into chunks.
And are you, so you're using just, really hard is well. President butter? El President,
I'm actually using, this is the Anchor. I would normally use, I prefer, of choice, I'd go for the Lurpak.
Okay, I was going to ask.
But, again, another thing a chef taught me was never, if you get the best butter you can get.
Always get the best butter you can get, yeah.
Like, that's the thing not to scrimp on.
So my husband always does.
I do the same thing. Does your husband do the get the best butter you can get?
Yeah, so I'll be, because we do an online food order and we both have the app on our phones.
Yes.
And sometimes I'll go on to add, you know, like, you know, something we've run out of, blue roll or something. Yeah. And I'm like, why do we already have 15 pounds in this
oh, I bought butter.
Cart? It's because my husband has put in 15 pounds worth of butter.
So much butter. But in this instance, I also buy the butter that's on offer.
Yes.
So I'm like...
sometimes really nice butter goes on offer and then you're
like, great.
Buy loads. And apparently you can freeze butter.
You can freeze butter. That is very true.
Do you do that?
I don't, because we are currently lacking in freezer space and I'm currently contemplating an additional freezer. Because the freezer I try to fill up when I'm away, I fill it up with, when I try and cook before I go away, and then fill up with a load of portions of food. So we have, like, on the side of the fridge, a list of what food's currently in the freezer.
Oh my gosh.
That Helen can have when I'm away. So it's like two different types of sweet and sour chicken that I make, which is a recipe that took me ages to perfect. A couple of confit ducks, very good to do in the sous vide. A couple of curries, a couple of bolognese's.
Wow.
So that's where, like, we'll run off that.
So you fill the freezer before you go?
Yeah, I try to. And then also, sort of, whenever I cook, I try to just do, unless it's something where it's, you got to eat it straight away, I'll try and cook more.
Yeah.
And then we have it.
Because how much of the year are you gone?
Depends on my schedule and what work is and where the work is.
So just
this year I've been away quite a lot.
Explain to everybody what it is.
So I'm officially I'm a mind reader. So I'm a magician.
Why do you laugh when you say that?
Because it's a ridiculous job title. What do you do? I'm a mind reader. I'm not really. I can't really read your mind, but I can make you think that I can read your mind by using magical and psychological techniques.
Okay. Can we try that?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, we should actually. We'll do that. When we're letting the butter cool, I will read your mind.
Okay. So hold on. You've just put in
basically a whole slab of butter minus a tiny bit, 225 grams.
And you're letting, it's quite high temperature.
Yeah, I'm keeping it sort of medium low, just so on this, in a smallish pan. And I'm just going to brown it now, which basically when it starts to go brown and look, it smells nutty, turn it off.
So right now it just smells like butter.
Yeah, and it'll take about 5 minutes or so.
So it's doing a slow boil.
Yeah, which is probably a tiny bit high for it, but I'm trying to get through it.
So I've never...
So now it's kicking up. So
I've never browned a whole slab of butter. No.
It's good. Yeah, it sort of adds... It's supposed to French quite a bit. Bernazette? It's a really good little sauce on things, a little brown butter.
Oh, just brown butter.
Yeah, with a bit of lemon juice.
Ooh.
Very nice. Like good on a steak or something like that.
Or on pudding.
On pudding. So this is the bit you can go with that. The problem with doing cookies this way is I did the brown butter and then made cookies. And every time I was bringing, it was just the mixture was so wet. And I kept having to add more and more flour. And then when I cooked them, they were awful. Mm-hmm. And it's because I was an idiot and was like, oh yeah, of course the butter was wet.
So what do you do? Oh, you have to let it cool.
So I now have to let it cool after I've done it for about half an hour in the fridge till it starts to solidify a little bit.
Is that in the recipe? Or
it is in the recipe, and I just always ignored that bit. The first time I was like, oh, I can't be asked with that.
Yeah.
It turns out quite an important bit.
Do you know my biggest tip for baking cookies?
What is it?
After you've made the dough, you do one cookie.
One. Yeah.
Cook it. And then you look at it.
Okay, so, this is a good idea.
This is a good idea. So if it's perfect, then you just go on, you just cook the rest of your cookies.
Yeah.
If it's too crispy, that means there's too much sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And per your suggestion, there's probably too much white sugar then.
So you would offset with more brown or a bit of butter?
I always offset with flour.
Flour, of course.
Just to kind of even it out a bit more. And then they're actually on Pinterest. You can find whole charts. Like, if it looks like this,
do
this.
So on the Serious Eats website, there's a whole, like, 10 web pages worth of...
Perfect.
You want your cookie to look like this? Here's how you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you cook that one cookie, bake that one cookie. Then you look at a chart like that.
Yeah.
Let's say go to SeriousEats.com.
Yeah. Other websites are available.
And then you adjust from there and then do one more. So it's a bit more time consuming because you have to commit to...
So on that line, the other thing which makes these so much better is they will be all the better tomorrow.
And why is that?
Just, it's sort of like anything, like a good bolognese or a good stew. It, resting it and letting it soak its flavours up makes it just the better thing the next day.
Yeah.
So like this dough will last 5 days and I'll freeze a load of it as well. But it's better the more you...
you freeze the dough, so not the cookie.
Yeah, so I roll the dough into little balls and then wrap each ball in greaseproof paper or cling film.
Each ball,
yeah.
Ball.
When I was in America, they found it hilarious how I said ball and banana.
Yeah.
Every morning I'd go like, there's only bananas at breakfast. Yeah. I'm like,
banana. Well, I find it difficult to say the difference between ball and bowl.
Bowl, as in like this bowl, thing here, bowl.
Yeah, like a bowl of cereal or a ball of dough.
Yeah.
And you would say...
Ball and bowl.
Bowl.
So, can you do an English accent?
No, I can't.
Oh, that's good.
Is it?
No, turns out not. I was mistaken. My mistake, I apologize. It's terrible.
Everyone, when I do... an English accent, people say I sound like Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, it's very Van Dyke-y.
I did study acting, but we didn't learn really to use an English accent.
You missed out on dialect day.
Yeah. Well, I did quit.
You
my
did quit.
Acting school. So.
Like, I'm done. I remember I had to see, I'm terrible at accents. And I
so now, hold on, you have to do an American accent. So tell a story in American accent.
Okay, so like Tully, sort of like that, I suppose. Just a real, a load of vocals.
Okay, you can stop now.
Thanks. Okay, so what, so I had to do an audition for a movie, which was a terrible idea my agent had. He's like, oh, why don't we put you in for this?
Yeah.
But anyway, I can't really act. And I can only play myself. I can act if the character is me.
I'm honestly surprised by that, just having seen clips of you online.
I've never applied. The thing is, I know I worked with lots of very good actors, and I see how good they are. Like, why bother?
Yeah.
I'll just do what I do.
Okay.
But I went to see a vocal coach, and I had to do a New York accent, and they went, okay, do what you think it sounds like. And they literally went, I don't think we can do anything for you.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, it's that good. No. It's terrible.
Well, can we hear your New York accent then?
It was like, I kind of went a bit like, I think it was quite Woody Allen-y. That's a shame to use him as the reference point. But it was sort of like, I kind of just went a bit staccato with it and realized I had to do it rhotic R. I problem with R's. It was awful. It was that.
I mean, if I heard you speaking like that.
This guy's, someone call an ambulance.
Somebody call an ambulance.
This guy's having some sort of aneurysm.
You can't quite tell where that's from.
No. It turns out, not America. Here, smell that.
Okay.
So it sort of smells a bit nutty now. A bit caramelly.
Ooh, it does.
Yeah. And that,
ooh, it smells like.
And it goes very foamy and it turns very dark and that's basically it.
What does that smell like to me? It smells kind of oaty.
Yeah.
Even.
So now I pour that into a bowl.
Bowl.
You get all the little sediments at the bottom, apart from the ones that have stuck because they've over-browned. And I'm going to put a whisk in an ice cube into the bowl, and then I'm going to stick it in the fridge.
Why a whisk in an ice cube?
To help cool it down a bit quicker.
A whisk?
A whisk. The recipe said whisk it in. After I realised my mistake earlier with not letting it set, I then was like, oh, I should follow exactly. Do you know what? Today I'm not going to whisk it in. We're going to just stir it in, and if this goes wrong, we know it's
my fault.
It's basically my get-out clause if I screw everything up.
So hold on, you're putting an ice cube in there.
Yeah, just to cool it down. And also, I think a bit of water, it probably needs a bit of water in the recipe. I'm trying to remember
But that doesn't mess up the baking ratio?
No, I'm assuming it's done for a reason.
Oh, so that's in the recipe, is to add an ice cube?
Yes. Here's the thing I learned about accents as well from my friend, to badly drop a name, Penn from Penn and Teller.
Yes.
He tells a story of Hugh Laurie, who, as we all know, does the greatest accent in the house.
I was shocked when I learned he was English.
No way, you didn't know he was? Because
no,
obviously we watched it going, oh, Hugh Laurie's doing a good accent, but you guys...
No, but he just, it doesn't sound like a generic American accent, it sounds like... an accent that's very settled and kind of slightly quirky, but not in a way where you think, oh, well, he's doing an accent, but just in a way where it's just very, I can't even quite explain. It's just very settled.
Yeah.
It didn't sound, I was shocked when I learned that wasn't his normal way of speaking.
He asked for one, out of the whole filming of the series, for one sentence to be changed because he couldn't deal with it.
And it was.
the phrase federal court order. So if you know anyone who can say too many R's, too many O's, too many U's, and they all stack up on each other.
Federal court order.
So if you know anyone British who can do a good American accent, try them on the phrase federal court order, because by the time you get to the end, it's a nightmare.
Can I open this? Is this going in the freezer?
Yeah, it's going in the fridge because I can't fit it in the freezer.
So the brown butter is all melted. It's got an ice cube melted in it, and it's going in.
And I'm putting it on a little tea towel because the thing's hot, so I don't want it to smash the ice there. So in it goes into the fridge for a little bit.
There we go.
There we are. I spent the last 6 weeks I was on tour in America, so I spent a lot of time around America and Americans in middle America.
Yeah.
And I realized you can go one of two ways. You can either adjust your language or you can become basically Hugh Grant.
Yes.
And I became Hugh. I just got the most British ever. I'm like, I'm doubling down. I'm going more British. I'm enunciating everything.
Yeah.
I will not say water with a D. I will say water.
Yeah.
And wait for them to look confused.
Yeah. Water. Say, oh, I'm British. Yeah,
you know, like melted ice. Oh, water. Yes. That. yeah. Like I would not, despite the ribbing on my banana phrasing.
Yes.
And every day getting to my dressing room and finding many bananas there. Without a fail, it'd be more bananas than anyone ever needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I doubled down.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's,
you've not done this consciously.
I'm a singer and that's part of what you do is you kind of, you listen and you adapt and it, maybe it has nothing to do with singing, but that's what I always blame it on.
Yeah.
That I enjoy accents and I enjoy listening to people and just if I say, you know, water bottle.
Yeah.
As opposed to water bottle.
Water bottle does sound weird when you say it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, my kids have English accents. Yeah. And so if I'm talking to them, then I will use English phrases and English terms for things.
Aluminium.
Aluminium.
Vitamin.
Vitamin. Yeah, it's just everything is just slightly off. And even the nursery rhymes for babies.
Yes. Oh, yeah,
they're
yeah.
all just slightly different.
Because it's slightly different rhyme patterns, right?
Except for the hokey pokey.
Hokey cokey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
You call it the hokey pokey?
The hokey pokey.
This is like when I discovered a bounce house is a bouncy castle.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you upgrade it to a castle?
So...
Make it fancier. Yeah, it's costing nothing. Not?
So the difference between the hokey pokey and the hokey cokey, it isn't apparent until you get to...
The hokey pokey cokey part. Yeah.
Until you get to the part where it's like...
Oh, hokey pokey cokey. So you would go, oh, hokey pokey pokey.
Nope.
No?
That part doesn't exist.
What? How are you... This explains a lot about your country. You didn't get the best bit of the hokey... Where do you go to at that point? Left leg in, left leg out. In, out, in, out. Shake it all about. Do the hokey pokey and turn around. That's what it's all
about. Shall we do the hokey pokey?
Hokey pokey. Then where do you go to here?
Okay, so this is the American version.
Yeah.
You put... Your right leg
right
in,
leg in.
You put your right leg out, you put your right leg in, and you shake
already
it all
the
about.
Slightly different.
You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. You put your
what?
Left leg in.
No! This is hard! Okay, I'm furious! This explains why you're uptight as a nation.
Now let's do your
British version, ready? Okay, you put your right leg in, your right leg out. In, out, you shake it all about. You do the hokey-cokey and turn it around. And that's what it's all about. And now everyone stands in the circle and you run into the middle as you go, oh, hokey-cokey-cokey, run back out. And then run back in, oh, hokey-cokey-cokey, run back in, oh, hokey-cokey-cokey. In, out, rah, rah, rah. So much better. I feel so bad for your childhood.
And for my children's childhood.
Yeah, they...
Well, no, because they've got it properly.
Yes.
They've got it properly, actually. Yes, well, it was just me in their little playgroups when everybody starts rushing the middle and I'm like, what happened to the left leg?
The left leg will come, but first, chaos.
But first, absolute chaos.
Life is full of awesome what ifs and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Great. So, let me do this. Okay, I'm going to leave that one there.
Okay.
Have you ever been to Las Vegas?
Yes.
And what do you do there? Do you gamble? Do you...
I play blackjack.
Play blackjack. Very good. Okay, so imagine you're at a blackjack table, and in front of you is the green table, and there's a deck of cards, and you open the deck of cards up, and they're divided in red and black. So which half do you pull out, red or black? And you just need to imagine it and tell me what.
Oh, I need to tell you.
Yeah, red. I'm not that good.
Oh, okay.
I wish.
Red.
Red, good. So you've got the black ones in the card deck. You haven't touched them. You pour them onto the table.
They're pour the black ones on the table.
Yeah, and they're in clubs and spades order. Which ones do you pick up?
Clubs.
Good, so you've got all the clubs in front of you. That's too many to hold, so we need to eliminate some. So, do you prefer the pictures or the numbers?
Pictures. Okay. But I feel like that's a normal, too boring answer.
It's fine, you're happy. It's your
I'm a very visual person.
Okay, so you get to keep the pictures that you prefer. Okay. But do you count the ace as a picture? Some people do, some don't. Some count
I don't.
So you just got the jack, the queen, and the king of clubs.
Yes.
Okay, in your head, turn one face down. What's face down to begin with?
King.
Good. And the next one face down?
Jack.
Good. And you've got the king and the jack, and they're upside down, and you shuffle them like this, and you hand me one, and I turn it over. What have I got? The king or the jack of clubs?
You've got the jack.
You sure?
Yeah.
Now, each step, you made a visual decision, and you made that decision, yeah? And you saw each thing, and each choice was yours. And the one card I turned around was the jack of clubs.
Oh, no.
So, the one card I'm going to turn around...
What?
...is the jack of clubs. Great, yeah? Good. Weird.
I'm so confused how that works.
Let me let you into a little secret on it.
Yeah.
So at the beginning...
Does everyone choose the jack of clubs?
I sort of make them. It's sort of a technique a friend of mine invented called psychologically cul-de-sacking someone. So I'm pushing you in the direction I want you to go. But I need to give you a signpost of what that direction is. And that signpost happened right at the beginning when I said, have you been to Las Vegas? You said yes. And I said, what do you play? And you say...
Blackjack.
And that is enough to send you down the path I need you to go on. Yeah. Amazing, right?
So what if I said no? I've never been
then
to
I'd
Vegas.
Then I'd go, okay, well, imagine you're there and there's people play roulette. They play blackjack. So I want you to imagine you're at a blackjack table. Here we call it 21 or pontoon sometimes, but set a blackjack table. And you don't need to know the rules of blackjack, but...
Just the suggestion.
That's enough to... And then I just start pushing you towards where I need you to go.
So isn't your wife a...
She's an educational psychologist. She has a doctorate. She she does it properly. I do it for entertainment purposes.
Oh, are these the...
I've got Ghirardelli ones. And so when I go to America, I always come back with... I buy chocolate chips.
He has real chocolate chips. This is amazing.
And then sometimes I don't use them all. And then I vacuum seal what's left.
I'm going to cry. Because you can't get these
here. You can't get them here. So like there's certain things I always buy in America. Those chocolate chips.
Yes.
And also for when I make Mexican chilies and stuff.
Adobo. Chipotle. Yes.
Yeah. Chipotle's and adobo.
Yep. That, so I buy Mexican food stuff, just like that, and I buy these chocolate chips, and I buy sprinkles.
Sprinkles! Good idea.
Yeah, because you can get all the colors, and here you can only get pastels, which I've just learned is pastel.
Pastel. Pastel.
Pastel
color. The other thing, which I'm really annoyed we don't do, which I can't find anywhere here, and I wish people would sell it, is corn tortillas.
You can get them now. The cool chili company.
That's what I, like not crispy ones. Flat corn tortillas. Yes. That's what I need. Yes. I love I love making tacos.
Yes.
But you need the corn tortillas.
Yes, you do. So the cool chili company sells them, and if you do buy them here from the cool chili company, this is not a plug.
But I really hope we're both saying corn tortillas now.
But I used to bring them back from America and just freeze them because they freeze.
Yes, they do freeze.
They freeze
well.
Really well.
I used to have a load in here, but I've used them up.
Yeah, but now you can buy them here.
I'm going to start doing that. Alexa, add baking powder to my Alexa, add baking powder to my shopping list.
Baking powder added to your shopping list.
I added the wrong one. Alexa, add baking soda to my shopping list.
I added baking soda to your shopping list.
So I feel like you're really using her.
Yeah, like Alexa in the kitchen is great because timers when cooking. And then adding stuff to the shopping list when you realize you're running out. I'm going to just check on the butter because it's starting to cool nicely, but what you don't want is it going too solidified because then okay. it's too hard to work. And now the base of it's cool enough to put there. Lovely. Oh, it smells nice. Can you smell? Did you get a whiff of it?
No, can I?
Yeah, have a little whiff. Very caramel.
Ooh, actually,
smell.
When I opened up the fridge, yeah. Yeah, why does it smell like caramel?
That's the joy. And so that for that flavour smell, I'm going to be added to the cookies.
Amazing.
Do you want to crack some eggs?
Ooh, yes, please.
Don't screw this up. Okay. Two large eggs.
Okay.
Pop them in.
And now I'm nervous. I wasn't nervous, now
no
I'm
pressure.
Nervous. So I use...
This is... You go on the side, do you?
I do side. So what do you do? Do you just do...
No, I do on this.
Apparently, I've just surface. Watched some sort of Facebook video yeah. or something where it's saying you should do it on a flat
That's
surface.
What I do. Okay, you do yours and I'm going to do the second egg and we'll see. It's pretty well done, actually. That's a better break than I'm going to get, mate. You can stick that in the food bin because we recycle.
Well done.
So I just go there, but the problem is you then sort of have to break into it.
And now I've got this shell there as well. I win.
Yes. This is excellent. So it turns out I've got more shell in. This is. Oh. Where's it gone? Oh, there it is. So you should. My technique worked. You fish out shell by using shell. This was all for educational purposes
yeah.
and not because I screwed up cracking of the eggs.
So how often do you make this?
I do these every couple of months, I'll make them. When they run out of the freezer, I'll then do more. Also, like, if we have friends around for dinner and I can't be bothered to make a dessert, then just these with...
Just out of the freezer.
Oven. Yeah, here's a good little tip you can do with them.
Yeah.
Get a skillet or you can use muffin or cupcake trays.
Mm-hmm.
Cookie dough at the bottom, bit of Nutella, cookie dough on the top.
Ooh.
Yeah, real good. Another spin on this. Just want to get those ribbons slightly thicker. But I don't want to over whip. That'll do. That's looking good. Brown butter is pretty much, you sort of got it half.
Oh, I could just eat that with a spoon.
Yeah, so it's sort of half solidified, still a bit wet. So. Because it's a bit wet, when I add the flour, I'll be aware that this will be a slightly wetter dough than normal. So I might add a little bit more flour.
So it's kind of the consistency of egg yolks.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And you sort of see around the edges, it's solidified.
Yeah.
More. So that's going to go in the dry mix and the brown sugar are all going to go in, I think. I'm just going to double check that. But I'm pretty sure we
I'm
now just paddle it.
Surprised the brown sugar didn't already go in with the other sugar.
Brown sugar goes in with the brown butter.
Okay.
So we add the brown sugar and brown butter and mix for about 15 seconds. Then we add the flour and mix on a low speed until just barely combined with some dry flour still remaining. And that's when I might adjust and add more flour. What have you taken out? Was there egg yolk in the flour?
Was it black something?
Oh, good.
Doesn't matter.
What if removing that?
Let's ignore it.
So let's... Brown sugar, brown butter.
Hold on, can I taste the brown butter? Do you mind?
Go on.
That is so good.
Yeah, it's just butter. And now just because we've left this for a while, I just want to check.
It really does taste like caramel.
Yeah, it just brings out all those caramelly notes. So in this goes.
So you've added the brown sugar and the brown butter, and now you're going to slowly mix in the...
Slowly mix in the...
Flour.
Flour. Get a device to help with that. On a low speed, and we're just gonna gently drop it in. And we're gonna try and, it's like a little game, we have to try and do it before the thing comes around and you get it on the top of the attachment, but I have already lost this game. There
we go! It's looking like dough.
Looking like dough, that's good. So it's a bit of a wetter dough than I'd like, but I think that's because of the butter still being a bit wet, but that looks pretty good.
Yeah, looks great.
So now we do 225 grams of cookie chips.
Cookie chips?
Cookie chips. Chocolate chips.
Oh, chocolate chips.
Yeah.
I was like, cookie chips?
Cookie chips. So these are Nestle's Whole House already in here. So I'm going to put a bit of them in. And sometimes I have, let's see. I sort of mix it up. Sometimes I have some milk chocolate ones. I think I've only got semi-sweets at the moment.
Do you ever do nuts or coconut or anything else?
You know what? I never. I have I did white chocolate and pecan once. Ooh. They were pretty good. But I've always sort of stuck with...
Yeah.
I stuck with the classics.
I feel like when you want a chocolate chip cookie, you just... You don't want it messed with.
No.
Can I take a little bit of the dough?
Yeah.
Mmm.
Is it good?
Mm-hmm.
Like a deep caramelly flavor. So that'll intensify over the next few days as we keep it in the fridge.
So what it tastes like is a chocolate chip cookie that is overcooked. Wait for it.
Yeah.
That's sounds overcooked. Like an insult, and no, it's not. That's overcooked and crispy, but what yes. you really want is that flavor in a soft
yes.
cookie.
So that's, you get that
and that's
dark
what you've done.
Caramelly burnt flavor, not burnt, but like the burnt butter, dark yeah. caramel flavor, which in essence is slightly burnt sugar.
So when you freeze them.
Yeah, I freeze them, so I make little balls like this,
yeah.
and then wrap each one in like this paper or cling film, and then stick them all in a Ziploc bag.
But then do you thaw them before you.
No, you can stick them straight in the oven like that for like 14 minutes.
At what temperature?
180?
Yeah.
Alexa, what's 180 in Fahrenheit? Alexa, what's 180 Celsius in Fahrenheit?
180 degrees Celsius is 356 degrees Fahrenheit.
356 Fahrenheit for our American friends. thanks, Alexa. You did good. Yeah.
Well done, Alexa.
So like 9 to 11, 12 minutes... If you're cooking them from fresh, about mm-hmm. 14 if you're doing them from frozen. Depends how gooey you want them in the middle.
So here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what Americans would drink with...
Milk. Because yes. I have an American friend, Ethan, who whenever he comes around, he's always like, hit me up. So I'll yeah. give him some cookie dough to go with, and yeah. he'll always want a glass of milk. And
yeah.
His wife, Lucy... Last time I gave him cookie dough, she the next day came home. She's an actress in musicals. And she came home from work to have cookies that evening. And he'd eaten all of the dough, just raw.
Oh, no.
He's a terrible, terrible husband. But I took it as high praise.
Yes.
They're going in the oven now. Alexa, 9-minute timer.
9 minutes, starting now.
And she'll let us know when the cookies are ready. Let's see how they're looking. Oh,
that's good. Perfect!
Tiny bit over.
Over, you think?
Yeah, just on the edge, and it's gone a little brown and then I liked it to have gone. See, these are slightly... If I was having it as a dessert,
yeah,
I would have... That would be about 2 minutes less, so it'd be really gooey in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, as a cookie...
It looks perfect. Can we have one?
Yeah.
Okay. So you've gone in.
Oh, I've done pretty well.
Mmm. First I got the salt.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm getting the sweet. Mmm. And that brown butter.
Just depth of flavor, right?
It's exactly what I was hoping it would do, which is, yeah, that depth of flavor but that you get from a crispy cookie, but you don't want that texture. That is delicious. Mmm.
Yeah. A minute less and it'd be even gooier, and you'd need a spoon.
Mmm. That is so good. Well done.
Yay, cookies!
You can get Chris's recipe for chocolate chip cookies by going to friendswithrecipes.org. And Chris can be found on Instagram as Magic Cox. You can find this podcast on Instagram as Friends with Recipes. Please share, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast as it makes a real difference and is truly appreciated. A big thanks to Chris for being on the show. You know, given that he's a magician and all, I asked him if there were any magic words he uses, maybe to help with the cookies or something. Chris got very quiet, looked me deep in the eyes, and said,
"Left leg in, left leg out, in, out, shake it all about."
Yeah, I'll definitely give that a try. Thanks for that, Chris. Tune in next week for another episode of Friends with Recipes. See you then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.